Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Adbri Limited Kwinana Upgrade Project Update conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer section. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mark Irwin, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Winnie. Good morning here. Good morning, everyone. Mark Irwin, as Winnie says, from Adbri CEO, and I'm going to hand over straight away to questions around our ASX announcement this morning on the Kwinana Upgrade project status. So I think without further ado, Winnie, we can just jump straight into Q&A. Sorry, before I do, I will add that I have with me today Brett Brown. He's our Chief Operating Officer of Cement and Lime. If anyone has some questions, I may pass questions to him on the market. But I also have with me Peter Ashford, who's been the project sponsor on the Kwinana project for about 4 or 5 months. And again, I may defer some questions to him. But back over to you, Winnie.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Sam Seow from Citi. Please go ahead.
Oh, hey. Thanks for taking my question, guys. Look, I just think, you know, the initial NPV you had for the project was $125 million, and now it looks like CapEx is probably going to be double, implying that you're expecting a material increase in profitability to keep the NPV positive. Just wondering if you can give us some more color on where it's coming from.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. And you're right, the original CapEx estimate was circa $200 million in December 2020. And it's now, you know, as stated, much higher. We believe with the math that we've done, we have full confidence that it is still NPV positive. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is, the way it was calculated, it had a cost avoidance component in that. So the cost of not upgrading Munster is more than was originally envisaged in the business case. That's the first thing. But secondly, the operating cost of running the Kwinana Upgrade Project and Kwinana together are superior to, as we've estimated, are superior to running it that way as forecast in the business case. The third thing that I would say is that over the next couple of months, we've identified some, as a result of the review we've had, we've identified a series of business opportunities which we need to investigate, engineer, and sort of come back to the market on. But we think and we're hopeful that there are some further opportunities to further improve that NPV, but we've got some work to do over the next few months. But yeah, as we sit here today, we remain very confident that it has a positive NPV. I bet that it is less than what we said in December 2020.
Got it. Thanks. And just a couple of housekeeping ones. Just maybe if you could talk to the NPV or the valuation of your surplus land at the moment.
In Munster, or you just mean more generally in the business?
Then? More generally, yeah.
Okay. I will touch on it, just conscious of just continuing the theme of public continuous disclosure. But we flagged at our February results that we are looking to accelerate or continue with some asset recycling, was the phrase that we used. We are hopeful that some of the larger asset recycling opportunities do come to fruition this calendar year. So we are still working towards that. And again, we can update the market more readily in a number of months, but yeah, we're still progressing on the larger potential sale opportunities.
Okay, appreciate that. Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Lisa Hoon from JPM. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning team. I mean, I understand the higher CapEx, but can you just talk around the pathway to paying this, you know, elevated level of debt down, you know, and realistically, you talked about asset recycling, but just the moving parts that kind of need to happen over the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, so we have our AGM next month, and one of the things I think we're working towards is giving a market update in terms of outlook, not on guidance, but in terms of outlook. And in our February results, you know, we said that the outlook remained positive in the short to medium term, and that we were in the process of trying to rebuild margins. So we want to talk about that at the May meeting, so that'll give you some insight. The second thing is in terms of what's called gearing, the gearing ratio. We've always said that there's no covenant issues, you know, and there's not. So when we look at this, the project, our spend is less than per month, is less than what had been originally forecast in the original sort of business case. So our spend profile is less than what had been envisaged even a few months ago, but the timing, it does go for longer and it goes for higher. I acknowledge that. The second thing is to Sam's question earlier. We are still looking to have some asset recycling transactions occur in the sort of shorter to medium term. So I think they're the two things. One is how we think about market outlook. The second thing is the actual spend profile for Kwinana is probably lower than what we thought some time ago. It goes for longer. And the third one is asset recycling. So there's the three factors that give us confidence that we will find ourselves back with the right level of EV to EBITDA or debt to equity style of ratios, depending which metrics you talk about, that we'll find our way back there within an acceptable timeline. And yeah. I can't be more granular than that at the moment, I'm afraid, because I think that's something we should do more formally in reporting periods.
Okay, sure, Mark. I get that, but I'm just curious around that comment of the spend per month being lower. I guess I understand the, you know, project is going for longer, but your costs have also doubled. Is it just the phasing of when you spent that money? You know?
No. It's certainly when you compare it to, where we were when we, where we were in, what I'm doing is really comparing it back to February and when I'm, and also 31 December. At 31 December, our actual cash out spend on Kwinana was lower than what we thought internally, and that's just a timing issue. And what we're also saying is as we have actually slowed aspects of the project down to optimize it, our monthly spend profile has been lower than what we thought it might have been if we go back say 6 months or so. So I'm probably referring it more to that than what we had, because I don't think we've ever advised the market what our expected monthly spend is. So it's more to more internal assumptions around monthly spend profiles.
Okay, sure. Got it. And I guess, you know, just given we jumped straight into Q&A, can you just talk broadly about, you know, how you're kind of sure that the costs won't overrun further from here?
Yeah. So we've gone through a period of announcements and updates to the market. None of them have unfortunately been less than previous announcements. So since October, I think, or even since earlier, we've been guiding the market up. One of the things that we did say in late last year and again in February was For myself, being an outsider and relatively new, and also for Peter Ashford as project sponsor, again, being outside and relatively new, we wanted to get a little bit more on top of how aspects of the project were unfolding. And when we talk about that, we didn't know at the time, I don't think the project team knew at the time, that the engineering work that was occurring, and I would argue some of that engineering work was probably less precise than it could have been when the project was approved. But when that engineering work was occurring, that work was done to, you know, clearly design the plant, design all the infrastructure in particular around the plant. But the consequence of that engineering work in terms of its impact on schedule and budget and bills of quantities, as in quantity of materials, etc., that wasn't fully known. So there's been a bit of a lag on the completion of some key engineering initiatives. And those initiatives, in our mind, are largely done. In fact, more than largely done, they're ostensibly done. And because they're ostensibly done, we actually have confidence, much more confidence, that we fully understand schedule and budget. When we went back a number of months ago, we were saying to the market that all major awards had occurred bar the SMP work and bar the E&I, the electrical and instrumentation work. And this is actually where the costs have escalated. As the engineering work has been completed, the potential contractors for those activities on the ground, the construction and management, or the people doing all that, all the hours in the field, that's where the escalation of hours has occurred. So there's been more material than was originally anticipated in the business case or feasibility study. And because there's been more material and more hours, the costs have escalated accordingly. So I know that this is, so we feel now that we do finally have a full understanding as to what our exposures are. Now, we have put in the estimate, an element for allowance and contingency that's quite a large number. It's sort of $28 million when you put it together. And $28 million of an assumed $185 to $210 million number is quite a reasonable percentage as a X factor or allowance / contingency. So yeah, we're much more confident than we've been because we had to do the work and we've now done that.
Okay, sure.
Apologies, it's a long-winded answer, but it actually has been a really complex piece of work to do. In all honesty, it's been very complex, and it's been quite stressful for everyone involved, no doubt, and no doubt disappointing for the investors to hear this now.
Yeah, thanks for that. I'll leave it to the next question. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Peter Wilson from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks, morning. Mark, just this question of relative costs versus absolute costs. So a big part of the NPV is avoided relative costs. But can you give us in absolute terms versus your cost base in FY23, say, what will the cost savings be in terms of OPEX and CAPEX?
Yeah, in terms of OPEX, we said this to the market previously. I think the business case was at least 19 million, and we're closer to 21 million in terms of annual OPEX savings for the West Australian cement operations. Now, an element of that we're still waiting for the Fremantle Port Authority to install the conveyor system on their land. So some of that will be held back until that's done. We will have to truck. We will have to do some short distance trucking until that conveyor system's in place. But that's a big chunk of the savings, and that's a pretty easy number to calculate. That's just simply the distance of not having to have a truck from the ship to Kwinana versus having to drive it to Munster. So that saving is a lock. In terms of capital, what's happened is we've estimated, based on the last number of years of the annual capital costs from Munster, we looked at the, let's call it the sustained business capital cost, and we extrapolated that out as a saving over the over a defined period of time, and said that I think we always characterise that as a cost avoidance. And what we have said is ostensibly, and this is in the past, that the Kwinana upgrade will replicate the same number of tonnes as Munster. So we've said like for like, the revenue's the same. What I'm now looking at is a Kwinana upgrade. It does have latent capacity, so you can actually increase capacity production demonstrably above the base case. Now, clearly, you need a market for that. But the second thing is the Kwinana upgrade, it allows that plant to go for decades. One of the pieces of work we need to do is to actually take a more informed view around what was the economic life of Munster. And that's a piece of work we need to do. Whether it's 10 years or 15 years economically, I can't tell you, because that's the work we're doing. But I think if you look at true NPV, it's possible, and that's the work we're working on, it's possible that the future revenue of Kwinana versus Munster has been understated if you think about it from what's the terminal life of a new plant versus an aging plant. So that doesn't help in the short term because it gets discounted out over time. But I think life of asset revenue, I think, will be higher than life of asset revenue if you just kept Munster going. But that's a piece of work we've got to work on, and I would like to then ultimately update the market on that when we've done that piece of qualitative and quantitative analysis in the coming months.
Okay, good. And the WA cement business, once you amortise this higher capital costs, what's your take on like the viability of that segment, the margins versus the rest of the Adbri portfolio? Like, is it a viable business amortising that higher capital cost?
Mm. So I think, the answer we think is yes, because that's in our business model. So we think it is. We know it is on the calculations that we've done. So it's a very valid question. And the other thing that we probably need to understand is the West Australian market will grow from a GDP perspective. There's no doubt about that. So making sure that one thing this plant has is it has the capacity to grow. So again, thinking about, and you don't build a plant, you don't build a plant hoping that, the market will grow. But, you should do. You should have some latent capacity in it. But again, us understanding where we think, what the growth will be the next few years, we'll go back and re-examine that. Because the West Australian market has grown more. Having said that, there is some surplus capacity. But yeah, in a long-winded way to answer your question, with, fully costed, so including capital payback, the project is still the project is NPV positive.
Okay, good. Thanks, Mark. I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and then wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Surya Vissen from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mark. Thank you for taking my question. Could you just give us a sense of your stay-in-business capex? How should we think about it? Like, I know in the last call you sort of mentioned, right, it's moved about close to like 100% of depreciation. Should we expect that step to fall? And also just trying to get a sense of the remaining spend, right? how should we think about it in terms of FY23 and 24? Thank you.
I think in terms of staying in business, we're going to go back. I probably won't be in the position to answer that one now, but we'll take it on notice because we do want to sort of be help analysts understand the benefits of Kwinana, over the next reporting period. So I think we'll go back and just re-examine that. And I don't want to answer it for two reasons. One is I think we've got a little bit of work to do in that area. But secondly, what we are having to do with this extension is we are extending the operating life of Munster. So what's going to happen next year in terms of staying in business is that, and we've done this analysis, it's why we're still, why the NPV is still positive, but we want to educate the market on how long Munster will run for, what the staying in business capital will be next year for Munster, and what it will be for the first few years, at Kwinana. So I think we've got to take the market on a journey there. And in terms of the business itself, our assumptions are that it will be operational in Q3. So what tends to happen next year? So what tends to happen is the quarter, at the very least, it's not a bit longer, but the quarter of expenditure before Q3 will be fairly marginal because most people are off-site. So what will happen is the spend period of the 185 to 210 between now and let's call it June next year. That will be more in Q3 and Q4 and Q1, and it will drop off heavily in Q2 next year.
That's very helpful, Mark. And Mark, since we have you, could you also just give us a few comments on what you're seeing in the market, the trading conditions, or did you say that you addressed that in the AGM?
Yeah, I prefer to do that at the AGM. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Keith Chow from MST Marquee. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my questions. And thanks for the detail. Can you give us a sense of some of the business opportunities that you mentioned earlier on? I just want to understand whether that is through the sale of cement, through to new customers, whether that's just an assumption on the market growing or any other business opportunities that you have or you are considering at the moment or in the process of negotiating, please?
Yeah, no, thank you. That's actually no assumption changes different in terms of sales of cement. Now, having said that, that's something that we are examining over the next period of time. So when I talked about business opportunities, it was more around optimization of Kwinana versus how we think about operating it in the market and new customers. So that's a separate piece of work which Brett Brown's team will work on in the next coming months. I was more focused on talking about when we look at the plant, what does the plant absolutely need to have without changing how we think about the project and the project scope and the capex. To what extent, what we were looking at is to what extent, and you always do this on projects, to what extent is everything necessary, right? That's the first thing, to run an efficient plant. And then the second exercise is, if it is necessary, and most things still are, particularly given most of the procurements occurred on the big equipment, but to the extent that your expenditure is necessary, how much of it needs to happen before you have cement production, regular cement production, and how much of it can be done after you have cement production. And there's a few benefits there. The two benefits are the asset is paying for the balance of work. That's one thing. The second thing that can occur is you can control the timing of that. So any inefficiencies you might have around having a lot of work fronts open on the project drop away. And the third thing is there are instances where minor works can be handled more efficiently by a smaller group of people under the supervision of operations than by large-scale contractors. So they're the three benefits, not two. They're the three benefits of delaying some of the necessary capital, if you can, without it impacting on ramp-up. That's what I meant when I was making those comments.
Okay, understood. So maybe this isn't the forum to discuss this, but this doesn't change in any way your, or I guess the group strategy to go downstream into concrete and WA. This is just purely a financial exercise regarding, you know, the cost changes at Kwinana from a CapEx perspective.
That's right. It's NPV optimization cases. Yep, that's correct. So,
okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Mark. And then secondly, I don't know if this was in relation to Peter's question. Sorry, it just cut out at that point. But is there a change in the assumption of your discount rates used in that NPV calc? I mean, obviously the world's changed since the project was announced. So just keen to understand some of the technicalities around that, if possible.
So I'm not sure if we disclose our discount rate. I'd be surprised if we do. What I can tell you is that we haven't changed any of our internal assumptions.
Okay. Okay. And then thirdly, maybe I'm just being daft, Mark, but I'm just trying to understand the discussion around Munster and extending the life of Munster. Can you just help me understand that? Because my understanding was Munster was supposed to be closed in FY23. Obviously, you know, with the delay in the project, that will be extended. But are you talking about running Munster beyond the Kwinana upgrade? Or was
no, no, no. What I'm saying is okay. We just need to extend its life now to sort of sometime mid to late next year with the view to decommissioning the cement operations after that. Yep.
Okay. And because the Kwinana project has been delayed, does the increased CapEx cost announced today, does that include additional CapEx costs to keep Munster running for another year?
No. But what the math we've done, it's a great question. The math we've done is it's not material to keep Munster operational.
Right. Okay. Understood. Thanks very much, Mark.
Yeah. So the one thing clearly when you've asked that question is I talked about, and I specifically said closing Munster as it relates to cement operations. I mean, I know you would understand that. What that also means by definition is it will remain open clearly as it relates to our critical lime operations. But I think that was implicit, but I want it just to be expressed.
Yeah, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for a name to be announced. We will now pause for a brief moment for more questions to be registered. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Irwin for closing remarks.
Okay, I just want to thank everyone for their time. I know it's a busy day today in terms of reporting, so and apologise for the short notice. So, as mentioned, we think this is actually a really good long-term project for Adbri. We think it actually strategically makes sense. We also know that financially it still makes good sense. And hopefully, you know, whilst the CapEx is disappointing, you can pick up a flavour of that today. So just wanted to close with those final remarks and thank everyone for joining. And Winnie, if there's no more, I'll sign off.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.